Father, we do thank you we have the Bible. We thank you we have this precious, precious treasure. This good news from a far country. This eternal word. Father, help us. Those of us who are believers, help us to every day build our life upon this word. May it guide us. May it correct us. May it encourage us, inspire us, keep us, bless us. We thank you, Lord, how that the whole of the Bible sets forth the Lord Jesus in all his wonderful ways. I pray, Lord, for thy help now, the help of the Holy Spirit. Filling of the Holy Spirit. Again, so that, Lord, your name will be glorified, the church will be edified, and any who are not saved will be brought to the Savior. I ask this in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. One of my regrets, and of course you have to be careful with regrets, because regrets about the past can paralyze you in the present and rob you of hope for the future. But one regret I have looking back is I didn't learn enough when I was at school. Carried on too much. And if I could go back, and if I could go back knowing what I know now, I think I would honestly have a greater hunger for learning and for knowledge. When I became a Christian, I think I've said before, the only two books I ever read before I was saved, apart from school books, and I didn't read them too often, I read two books, Treasure Island. My brother gave me money for my 14th birthday, and I remember buying that book, Treasure Island. And the other was a book about the life of Evel Knievel, the stunt motorcycle rider, because all my brothers raced motorbikes at Dundraw, the Northwest, the Isle of Man, all of that. Motorbike racing is in the Jameson blood. And those were the only two books I ever read. When I became a Christian, of course, I began to read the Bible. And becoming a Christian gave me a hunger to learn about history, to learn about geography, especially the geography of the Holy Land, and many other wonderful subjects. Now, again, when I was at school, mathematics was not my favorite subject. Brother Sammy's laughing, it mustn't have been his neither. Arithmetic. And we had an old teacher in the Armagh's class in Mavilla High School, and Sammy Crockard by name. He was a man on in years, and he loved a red pen. He loved marking your homework with a red pen. And of course, the red stood out. Every mistake you made, the red stood out. But you know, I have to say, even becoming a Christian gave me, I'll not say a hunger for mathematics, but an interest. It's wonderful how being saved opens up the whole world to you. I'm talking about the good in the world, the created world. We sing that hymn, heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green, something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. But when your eyes are opened, you see the wonders of God's creation. And the wonders of God's word and the wonders of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to just come at this passage a little differently tonight. And if this meeting sort of at times looks like a children's meeting, you'll forgive me. I'm not in any way despising you folk or treating you like children. It's just the way I want to put this over tonight. Now, those of you who have young children or your grannies and grandas, here's a wee thing you can do. If the grandchildren are going to visit you this week, this is a fascinating, they'll tell you, if you do this, your grandson or granddaughter, they'll go into school the next day and they'll say, "My granny and my granda are the wisest people that ever lived." And all you need is a sheet of paper. Now bear with me, this is going somewhere. A sheet of paper, A4 sheet of paper. Now, how thick is an ordinary sheet of paper? Well, it doesn't really matter for our purposes tonight, but it's very thin. They have wee devices that you can measure the thickness, and it's 0.003 something or other, and it's very, very thin. So an ordinary piece of paper. So if you set down the children or the grandchildren and you ask them, now there's a sheet of paper, and it's so thick, you fold it once, like that. Now, how thick is it now? It's doubled. Not right? It's twice as thick. You folded it once, it's twice as thick. Fold it again. Okay, like that. Again, it has doubled again. Fold it again. It has doubled again. So every time you fold it, it doubles. Now, when I was at Mavilla School again, I remember doing metalwork and woodwork. And part of metalwork and woodwork was theory, where you sat at a desk and you had the books, and you learned about all kinds of chisels and all kinds of joints, dovetail joints and all of that and so on. And then the other part was you went into the workshop and you had your wee bench and your apron, and they gave you a piece of wood and a hammer and a chisel and a few nails or metalwork, and you actually practiced. You actually made things. And I was very proud that my last day at Mavilla High School, I come out of there with a telephone seat. You know these telephone seats you get? And a cushion to sit on, and then a wee bit for the telephone, and a wee bit to put the telephone book in. And I was mighty proud of that. I built that. I could hardly believe it. You'd think I had built the Titanic. Or maybe that's a bad illustration. And I remember bringing it home, and I sold it to an uncle. So I made a pound or two. I sold it to my uncle, Harold Ellis, who was a Welshman. So there's theory and there's practice. Now, we're folding this piece of paper. Now, you're going to be astounded at this, because the first time I heard this, I was astounded. You keep folding it. Every time you fold it, it doubles in thickness. Now, there comes a point, of course, where you can't fold it any further. It's impossible. But mathematically, if you get a piece of paper and you have a calculator, you can work this out. What I'm telling you is it's true. Practically impossible, but theoretically absolutely true. Absolutely true. You see, if you keep folding that ordinary piece of paper, just an ordinary piece of paper, if you fold it 10 times, it will roughly be the width of your hand. If you fold it 20 times, it will be 10 kilometers high, as high as Mount Everest. If you fold it 42 times, it will be the same, the thickness of that paper will be the same as the distance between the Earth and the Moon. And if you fold it 103 times, it will be in thickness the size of the known, what scientists call the known universe, which is pretty big. Now, are you sitting here saying, I don't believe that? You can do the maths. You can get a piece of paper and a pencil and a calculator, and you can do the maths. It's practically impossible. But theoretically, it's absolutely true. Absolutely true. Now, you tell your wee Johnny or your wee Mary that, and they will think you are wise. Granny and Granda is very wise, very knowledgeable people. I say all that, I want you to come to this passage of Scripture. You know, Numbers, there's a book in the Bible called Numbers, but Numbers in the Bible is a wonderful subject, and of course there's the famous book by Bullinger on the numbers of Scripture. But I want you to notice something, and we're coming at this just at a different angle tonight. You know the story here, the incident here. And remember, this is fact. Last week in England, they were commemorating the Battle of Hastings. A historical fact, one of the greatest battles, some say, in European history, and some say even in the history of the world. Well, what we have in our Bible and what we have in the four Gospels is historic fact. We start with the facts of history concerning the person and work and labors and ministry of the Lord Jesus, and then our doctrine is built upon those historical facts. Do you remember how Luke put it when he wrote the book of Acts? He said, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." It. The Gospels are a record of what Jesus did and what he said, historically true and factual. And then our doctrines are built upon those historical facts. But when you come into John chapter 6 and look, please, at verse number 9, the Lord Jesus is in the desert parts. A great multitude has followed him. The disciples are getting worried about this mass of people, and the day is wearing on, and how are they going to be fed? We need to send them into the local villages, and maybe they can lodge somewhere and get something to eat. I love this. The Lord Jesus, verse 5, he says to Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And look at verse 6. If you haven't verse 6 marked in your Bible, mark it, because it's a text for us all. "And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." Did you see that? You know, in life, sometimes we're up against things. We don't understand. We don't see a way through. But the Lord is proving us. He's proving our faith in him, testing. Everybody who professes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, their faith is always tested. One way or another, at some time or another, it's put to the test. But I love this. Though he said that to prove Philip, but he himself knew what he would do. Listen, the Lord knew all about that lad. The Lord knew all about those barley loaves. The Lord knew all about those wee fish. The Lord knew all about the number. The Lord knew what he was going to do. And you know, brothers and sisters, he always does. He always does. We don't, many a time, we don't see a way through, a way out. But he always does. And what have we to do? Trust him. Keep trusting him. Turn neither to the right hand nor to the left, but keep following the Lord. Now, Philip says, verse 7, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And then Andrew, Simon, brothers, Peter, he says, there is a lad here. Now, I don't know if that lad foolishly brought his lunch out and all of a sudden they saw it. You could maybe be trampled to death in a big crowd if you brought out a wee lunch like that. But anyway, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And the Lord says, make the men sit down. They sat down. There was a number, about 5,000 men. And the Lord took the loaves. And glory to his name, he fed everyone there. Now numbers. 5 barley loaves, 2 wee fish, 2 wee fishes. 5 and 2. Brother Sammy. Oh, good man, Sammy. Oh, you were ready with that. 5 and 2 is 7. Now, Sammy, I'm not going to ask you how long it is since you were at school, but when you were at school, what was 5 plus 2? 7. Sammy, if we go back to these days here that are recorded in John 6, what was 5 plus 2? If we go back to Genesis 1, the first week, what was 5 plus 2? Sammy, this is the city of Belfast. If we went over the Irish Sea to Glasgow, what would 5 plus 2 be? If we went to Brussels, why we would want to do that, I do not know. But if we went to Brussels, what would 5 plus 2 equal? I have 3 sisters in Perth in Western Australia. Sammy, if we went to Perth, what would 5 plus 2 be? Sammy, if we could get a rocket and go to the moon, what would 5 plus 2 be? Sammy, this is my last question, brother. If we could jump on board the Starship Enterprise and at warp factor, whatever, head out to the very edge of the universe, some wee planet away out there that God made, and we got out and we took 5 wee rocks lying there and 2 wee rocks, what would 5 plus 2 equal? 7. Sammy, in our children's meetings, when somebody gets an answer like that, and you answered everyone correct, we give them a pencil. But I thought, it's no good giving you a wee pencil. So I got you a pencil that suits your physique. There, that's for you after the meeting, Sammy. Now, don't you leave without that, for you did very well there. What's the point? 5 plus 7. 5 plus 7, anywhere in the physical universe, anywhere, 5 plus 2 equals 7. At any time, go back to Genesis 1, go right up to the day of the Lord's return, 5 plus 2 will equal 7, except in the kingdom of God. Because in this incident, 5 plus 2 equals thousands. Do you see that? The Lord took 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, and it multiplied. And he fed thousands. He fed thousands. Have you ever wondered why there's 12 baskets over? Well, I take it that the 12 baskets, each disciple had a basket. I've sometimes asked myself, where did they get those baskets, and who had them? Why did they have them? But anyway, we're not told why. But it struck me this afternoon, the reason there's 12 baskets over is because the Bible's showing us the Lord could have fed millions with those 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. He could have fed the world at that time. You see, 5 plus 2 equals 7 in the physical universe, in the physical realm, but in the kingdom of God, in the hands of the Lord Jesus, 5 plus 2 can equal whatever God likes and whatever God wants. Do you see that tonight? Now, what should that teach us? What should that teach us? 3 simple things, observations. Number one, I want you to imagine you're in this chapter 6 of John. Dr. Douglas always says it's good to put yourself in the passage. So we're standing there. We can feel the warmth of the sun, maybe a breeze ruffling through our hair. We're looking at this Jesus of Nazareth, this rabbi, and there's a vast multitude of people. And as we're looking at Jesus, who are we looking at? We're looking at the Creator of all things, visible and invisible. Have you ever noticed how John begins his gospel? John doesn't begin with the genealogy of Christ. John doesn't begin with the incarnation and the virgin birth, the visit of the shepherds and the wise men, none of that. How does John begin his gospel? John 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And that day there in the desert place, the people were looking at the Creator of all things, and He proved it. Only God can take 5 and 2 and make it equal thousands. Isn't that wonderful? I love what the Bible says in the book of Colossians. Colossians, I feel, is a great book. If you're ever wanting to study a book to answer the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and all the rest of them, study the book of Colossians. Because in Colossians chapter 1, speaking about the Lord Jesus, it says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." You know, on the science website where I got that little illustration about the folding of the page, one man on the blog, he says, "I see that and it is true, but," he says, "you know, what's happening to the atoms as you keep folding that page, or if you could keep folding it 103 times. Then he said this, he says, "You're liable to create a big bang." I thought to myself, a good job the provost didn't know about that all those days. Or ISIS. You know, the other week I was watching 2 documentaries. TV's useless, but some things, you can find some good things on it. There's a documentary entitled "The Beginning and Ending of the Universe," and there was another entitled "How Big is the Universe?" Now, underlining it all was evolution, of course. They weren't acknowledging God. Strange thing was, as I was sitting in my favorite armchair watching this, I was sitting like this, praising God. Lord, Your creation is amazing. And one boy at the end, a cosmologist, a theoretical mathematician, he has worked out and believes that there could be 10 universes. And I'm sitting thinking to myself, you absolute idiot. I know there's one, because in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But there's a man willing to believe there could be 10 universes, but not willing to believe there could be an unseen world where God is, where the angels are. You know, we live in this dimension, but there's a dimension just next door. Spirit world, an unseen world. Oh, get your eye upon this wonderful man called Jesus. Do you see him? Do you see him taking the barley loaves, the 2 small fish. He blesses them. They multiply and they multiply and they multiply and they multiply. And he could have fed the world, I believe. And that's why the testimony of the 12 baskets over is given. The second point I'd leave with you is this. Look at Mark chapter 6, which records the same incident. Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. My second observation is this: the Lord Jesus knows our need and has compassion upon us. Because verse 34 of chapter 6 says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." And then verse 35, "This is a desert place," the disciples said, "the time is far spent, send them away." And then you have the miracle of the five and the two. Did you see it? The Lord Jesus was moved with compassion. You're here tonight and you have a need. Do you need to be saved? Is there a soul here not yet saved? The Lord loves you. The Lord knows all about you. The Lord knows your need and he has compassion. He has compassion. He's a wonderful Savior. It'll soon be Christmas, Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. God with us. And that's a miracle in itself. That's a miracle of grace. For what God would want to do with any of us, I do not know. God chose a nation. God chose a man, Abram, from Abraham, a nation. And that nation constantly threw the law back in God's face. Though God blessed them, God provided for them, God led them. And we Gentiles are no better. And yet God, in his mercy and in his love and his grace and compassion, he comes right to where we are. He speaks to us. And he says to us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then thirdly and finally, the Lord Jesus can meet our need, for he is the bread of God sent down from heaven. Look at John's Gospel again, chapter 6. John's Gospel, chapter 6, and then just a few days after that incident, verse 33, the Lord Jesus says, John 6:33, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst." You know, brothers and sisters, there's one thing we need to learn to do, and I need to learn to do it. We need to learn to solve every problem we ever have by taking it to the Lord in prayer. Those five loaves and two fish in the hands of that little lad would have fed him for a wee while. Those five barley loaves and two small fish in the hands of Philip or Peter or Andrew would have maybe fed them for a while. But once it was put into the hands of Christ, it fed a multitude. What's the lesson? Let's take everything and by faith and prayer put it into the Lord's hands. If you're here tonight and you're sick, put it into the Lord's hands. Oh yes, go to the doctor and attend the hospital, because God can use means, but put it into the Lord's hands. Are you going to lose your job? Put it into the Lord's hands. Is there trouble in the family? A wayward son or daughter? Put it into the Lord's hands. Put it into the Lord's hands, brother and sister. Put it into the Lord's hands. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we would tell you simply this. Put your faith in Him. Put all you are into His hands. He bids you come. God says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He bids you come. This blessed, blessed Savior, who's the Creator, who's God manifest in flesh, who keeps this whole universe together. One day the thought will just cross his mind, and the heavens shall depart as a scroll, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the heavens shall pass away with a great noise when he comes again. The thought just has to cross his mind, folks. That's our Savior tonight. That's your Savior tonight. That's my Savior tonight. Oh, let us never forget He's God. What a Savior. And let us learn to put everything into His hands. Because in the kingdom of God, and by faith, 5 + 2 can equal anything God wants. He can multiply and He can bless. May God bless these thoughts to our hearts. And Brother Sammy, don't you forget, you won that big pencil, and I don't want you to leave without it. But praise the Lord, what a Savior we have. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior.